Days. TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Come on in. Sit right down. Keep your hands up. Keep your chin down. Shut the door. Time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, surprises, and surprises anywhere. For Knockout Radio, I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
What is going on, everybody? People have been asking, demanding to get rid of the feedback for us to add another hour.
Another hour a week with you and I.
So we are now kicking off the 1 o'clock hour, and I wanted to kick it off right.
Okay.
I wanted to just blow this out of the water. Hour one, first time doing the 3-hour show.
Absolutely.
We have a UFC Hall of Famer coming to the studio in a half an hour. But right now, I've waited a while to talk to this guy again. And we go way back. He may not know this. But we're going to start the new one hour of this program with a WWE Hall of Famer and a Chickasaw Nation Hall of Famer, local guy to us, the legend. And you know I hate that word.
You do.
This is a legend, Mr. Jerry Briscoe. Jerry, how are you, sir?
Hello, this is Briscoe.
Hey, Jerry, it's Randy Harris. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, Randy. Good to hear you, all this technical stuff, man, going on in us two old-timers trying to figure it out. It's fun.
Exactly. I go so far back. You go so far back. I don't even know the new technology. I appreciate you giving us some time. I know you're prepping for your own show, which is called Stories with Briscoe and Bradshaw, which is available on all of the major platforms, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But I wanted to ask you, one of the things I want to ask you was, what is the biggest difference between today's wrestling world and the day that you and I remember at the Armory in Tampa?
Man, we get right to it right away. Man, I'll tell you the biggest difference is money.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Huge amount of money. I mean, you know, back in the day, we made our share of money. I'm not complaining about it, you know, and if you go back and average everything out, we did very well. But the biggest difference, you know, in the ring is more entertainment. And you know, we had that back in our day. As you know, and Randy, you're a Tampa guy like I am for years and years of years of. We had Dusty Rhodes. We had all of Dick Murdoch. We had the superstar Billy Graham, who just passed away. We had guys that were entertainers also, but the majority of the way Eddie Graham built his territory was on wrestling. And I think now it's entertainment. I have no issues with the way it's gone. I think it's great. We're seeing a lot of really talented athletes out there now. So I think the biggest part of it is the entertainment side of it.
You know, as we continue doing, you know, social media and doing radio show, I have the longest running sports show in Tampa Bay, blah, 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 blah. You know, today's generation have no clue, you know, what you guys did back in the day. I remember stories of two and sometimes three different events on the same day in three different locations.
Oh man, yeah, you hit. I mean, holidays especially. I mean, you know, people work. You know, the working man works all week long, and looking forward to those holidays. And our Saturday and Sunday usually just an example of Atlanta TV on Saturday morning. We get up at 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, drive downtown Atlanta. That's after a night out on Friday night, have a live house show in Atlanta. Of course, you were all young, go out on Peachtree Street, stay out three quarters of the night, then get up the next morning, go down at 7:30 in the morning at TBS Studios, usually be greeted by Ted Turner himself, who was already there. We'd do 2 hours of block TV for that evening on WTBS. Then we'd get in the car, Randy, and drive 120 miles to Columbus, Georgia, for Fred Ward, and do another TV show in his building for his market, which is Columbus, Georgia, and South Georgia. Then we get in the car and drive another 150 miles to a house show and work that night. So that was our Saturday. And usually on Sunday, we'd have an afternoon show, a matinee show, then we'd have an evening show. So Saturday and Sunday for us, man, that was dead-ass working days.
So you'd make $75 in the 2 days. You'd have a hotel and gas, and you'd owe money.
And you'd owe money. And a funny thing about TV back in the old days, and I'm going to take you back down there to Tampa, Florida. Eddie Graham had a policy on his TV show down there. If you work for his TV, you're getting free publicity, right? Because you're seen everywhere in the state of Florida and about 10 other states. So he figured if you went over, he was doing you, went over by winning the match. He figured he was doing you a promotional favor. So you wouldn't get paid. But if you did the favor for the guy and you got beat, you got all of $25. So that's kind of like the TV was back in the old days.
So Jerry, I used many years doing the talent search. You know, what's it like nowadays? Like, is it the YouTube and with all the social media aspect? Do you still have to go the traditional route of building yourself up and building a fan base locally and working your way up? Or has social media kind of circumvented that and guys can go straight to the top like Logan Paul?
Well, Logan Paul certainly did. But, you know, I get a little frustrated with some of my peers, you know, that blast Logan Paul. I mean, Logan Paul did it the easy way. But, man, that kid's got talent, too. He's got in-ring talent. I think he's almost championship. Another year from now, if he stays steady with it, I think he should be in line for a major title because the kid's very talented. But, man, social media has made such a big difference in our business these days. But back in the old days, you know, you're just pounding the streets. Hope you got on TV. Hope you got some good matches. And most of all, hope you got a good commentator like Gordon Sully who could tell that story about you. And if Gordon, as you know, like you, man, he could build that story about you. He could get you over in minutes, you know, compared to some of these other guys that take months and months and months if they got you over at all because they're so busy trying to get themselves over. But Gordon always tried to get the talent over.
Tell you real quick one of my stories. So Gordon and I became very good friends. He was one of our first guests back on the TV show back in the day. And if I would call him, it didn't matter if I called him twice in the same day or twice in the same month. He would always go, "Hello? Hey, Gordon, it's Randy." "Randy who?" "Randy Harris." "I don't recall. Who's that?"
Yeah. Gordon was a prankster, too, as you know and I know him. But what a great guy. I was fortunate enough to just live down the street from him, so we had a few social evenings together out here on the lakes north of Tilburg County. But what a guy. It was sad that when Gordon passed away, but you know, guys like Jim Ross and these other guys, they patterned themselves after Gordon Sully. So Gordon was truly the leader and the guru of the commentating business.
Absolutely. I miss my friend. I was at his funeral. I'm glad I was there to attend. But let's bring it back. I want to ask you this, and again, I'm sure you've answered this question thousands of times on your own podcast. Talk to me a minute about what it was like, you know, to do what you love to do, to be a professional wrestler, and you look to your right, and your tag team partner obviously was your brother. I remember Jack and Jerry Briscoe growing up. You know, we're almost the same age. What was it like traveling with them and just being together all the time?
Well, it was a unique situation because, you know, most of the so-called brothers in professional wrestling, they're not always true brothers. But Jack and I were blood brothers. You know, he was such a unique star and major star. And I mean, you know, Jack was a handsome guy, too, as we all know. And in college and everything, you know, trying to follow him around, I was, you know, a few years younger than him. But, you know, I always had that, you know, you'll never be as good as your brother deal. But who in the hell was as good as Jack Briscoe was right. My question to him. You know, so it was a short class. But being his partner, he always brought the best out of you and demanded the best when you went in the ring. If you were his brother or if you were just a road brother going up and down the road with him, the guys would get in the ring with him. I hear stories all the time about him having the opportunity to team with Jack. And most of the guys were very intimidated by Jack just being in the same ring with him because he's so damn smooth and so good and technical and everything. But he just demanded that you do your best. I've never got got more ass chewing from Brother Jack than I did anybody in my life because I mess up a spot or something like that. You know, he just wouldn't go for that. He had no excuses. He didn't expect you to have any excuses. So I always felt like I was really blessed and just honored to be in the same ring with him.
Now, a couple of years later, 10 years later, 20 years, whatever it was, one of your sons comes up to you and says, Dad, I want to follow in your footsteps. I want to be a professional wrestler. How did that whole thing go down?
Well, Wes, in the beginning, you know, Wes is a very independent guy, and he grew up here out in Northwest Hillsborough County on the lake out here. We had a boat for the lake, and he learned how to wakeboard. He tied a rope where he saw it on ESPN. He tied a rope around a damn palm tree out here, and we had always had trampoline for my boys, just, you know, athletic deals, just so they could jump and get coordinated. He tied that rope, ski rope around that palm tree. He started doing these flips and everything. Next thing you know, we're out on a boat, and he's tearing it up. So there was what they call a grassroots tournament coming up to Land O'Lakes up the road here a piece. And so he entered the tournament put on by Hyperlite, and they saw him ride. The first time he'd ever rode in any tournament or any competition, he won the damn thing, and Hyperlite immediately signed him up. So he was wakeboarding all over the country by the time he graduated from high school. And he kind of wanted to make his own name. He knew the Briscoe name was in wrestling, and he knew he could probably go there. But he wanted to be a professional wakeboarder. I did not stand in his way. I didn't, you know, you'll hurt you, you'll tear your knees up, all that stuff, and you know, you don't want to do that. But I encouraged him to find his own niche, and he did. He went out, and he ended up, I think, third or fourth in the world in the competition. So he did really good, but he blew his knee out, as I do. He was probably doing that sport. And about a year later, after he fully recovered, he got on the waist while he was doing his rehab. And, man, the guy just jumped up and got built like something I wish I'd been built like when I was young and starting out. And he said, I want to try it. So Steve Kern, my old good pal, your pal too, Steve Kern, had a school down there on Waters Avenue. And so I took him down there and said, Steve, if you don't mind, let him just roll around in the ring a few times and see how he takes to it. And Steve called me and said, kid's a natural. So then we could just kind of that slow progression. Then he started calling Uncle Jack, you know, asking Jack for help and all that stuff. And Jack was more than happy to help him. So he had a couple of good coaches, and he went on to make a real good name for himself out on the independent circuit.
I didn't know this until I knew you were coming on. I did a real quick research, and I didn't know that you and your brother were a heel at one point because you guys were so loved and fan-friendly and all that. A, what was that like? And B, which did you prefer?
Oh, well, you know, the turning heel was so much fun. We kind of experimented. Jack and I experimented with down here in Florida, but Eddie Graham was worried to death that we're going to be full scale heels. We went against Mike Graham and Steve Kern in a little tag team for the U.S. tag team title they had down there in Florida. It started getting over so well that Dusty, who was doing the booking at the time, went to Eddie and said, hey, we're about to lose the Briscoe to the heel side. You know, and Eddie said, why? Because Eddie wasn't really aware what was going on. And he called us, all four of us, in the office to, I'll let you guys finish out the program, but we're going to finish it up, and no more heel play, no more heel row. So Eddie was really, really discouraged. So then we went up to Carolinas a few years later, and Ricky Steamboat and Jay Youngblood had just finished this tremendous angle with Sergeant Slaughter and Don Carnoodle. And they were looking for someone to work with. They'd already gone through all the hills in the territory. And sometimes the best ideal comes after a match, and you're driving home with a case of beer, and you start throwing out ideals out there. So Ricky threw an idea. Why don't you and your brother turn heel? Oh, God, we'd love to work with you guys. They did, like I said, they just finished an angle with Sarge and Pernoodle and sold out set every record in the Carolinas for attendance. So we went and approached Jimmy Crockett about it. Jimmy Crockett said, no way, no way. Jimmy was running three towns at the time up in the Carolinas, and he needed every baby face that was slotted to be a baby face, needed every heel. So for about three or four, it took us about a month before we finally convinced Jimmy Crockett to let us do it. Finally, when he did, we had it down, because we'd talking every night what to do. And how we did it, we just did it so subtle that people really didn't realize what we were doing until it became just boom, smack you right in the face with what we did was not right to Ricky and Jay. So we started turning it, turned out. I had more fun ready being a heel, I think, than any part of my business up to that time, up until I became a stooge, matter of fact. And that was kind of the best part of it. But the heel run was so good, and it was so natural, because Jack and I's instinct were to basically wrestle, because that was our gimmick. But we would throw it down to people's throat. Well, we know the rules as well as anybody, because we were the guys who kept the rules going as baby faces. And so, but we know how to bend and break the rules. We just kept shoving that down to people's throat. And they got to hate us in Carolina, man. And it was a fun time, because, number one, you had two of the best guys in the business in Jay Youngblood and Ricky Steamboat to compete against. And number two, you were doing something that you hadn't done in a long time. So I enjoyed the heck out of my heel turn.
Which got the better reaction, when you guys turned or when Terry Bollea / Hulk Hogan turned?
Well, you know, the audience was a little bit different when the Hawks are turned there and that. So it was a little bit bigger and grander because of what Vince Jr. had done with wrestling at the time. But, you know, if you go back and you kind of measure it one for one, apples for apples, I think we got just as big a result out of it as he did.
No, I agree with you 100%. And speaking of Hulk Hogan, what was the story? Because I've heard a little bit different, and I want to hear it from you, about Terry. You know, when you guys found Terry, how did you find Terry? How did you know that he was going to turn into, obviously, one of the biggest stars of the sport?
Well, of course, we didn't know he was going to turn into the biggest star ever produced in the business. You know, if we'd known that, we probably would have broke him in a lot earlier. Wouldn't have shipped him out of the state of Florida, which was a big mistake here. But how it came about, you know, we would see Terry. I mean, he's hard to miss. He'd be sitting third or fourth row at the old Armory. And on Tuesday night, with everybody else sitting out there, and man, this big-ass guy, who in the heck is he? Because he never would really react to a lot of stuff. So, you know, my brother and I were young, and we like cold adult beverages. And we found out Terry was in a rock and roll band over by University of South Florida over there. So we got in the car one evening, drove over, and went in the bar. And sure enough, there was Terry up there playing in a band. And we just sat down and talked to him. And he had already had conversations with Mike, and he was telling us he couldn't get anything going and wanted to know if we could help speed it up a little bit. So he wanted to try out. So we kind of looked at him, okay. We went back to the office, and of course, said, yeah, I've seen the guy out in the audience out there. Oh, well, we'll get Mad Suda, get him down here. So we got Terry down there, and of course, Mad Suda got in the ring with him. And the rest of it is legend. You know, Mad Suda got a little strong with him, and didn't break his ankle, but put his ankle in positions that a human's ankle shouldn't be at. So Terry was out for like three or four weeks. We thought that was the end of the big blonde rock and roller. And about 3 weeks later, he had come back in the sportatorium and said, I want to continue my tryout. And we put him back in there. And just with the guts that he showed by getting back in the ring with Matt Tudor, he wrote kind of backed off the brutality part of it. Started teaching him a few things and just notice how quick this guy was picking it up and everything. He became a natural just right off the bat. Of course, he was still Hulk Hogan, he was still Terry Bollea, not the Hulk Hogan, and we later grew him up.
And the rest is history on that. I know that you got to get back to your prep. Your podcast is getting ready to start. But before I let you go, talk about that for a minute. You know, let me know, let the people know about the your show that you do, Briscoe and Bradshaw.
Well, I'm having a ball doing it. I'm 76 years old, and I've still got something to do around the business, a peripheral type thing, and still being involved in the business. I go back to four. We know all these guys. I know all these guys that we usually have on the show. And there's legendary stories about each and every one of our guests. So instead of letting people speculate about the story, whether it's true or not, we want them to hear it from the people who started the story, the people who was going down the road at the time the story began and what it was all about. So we have fun. We have some of these old-timers that you and I were laughing before I got on there. Nothing like getting a wrestler, two old-time wrestlers up in their old age, trying to figure out how to get online with a rotary dial telephone, you know. But it's a blast. We just stay on the positive. We don't hit, you know, there's so much negative out there and in the world today that we refuse to go that direction. We want people to laugh when they listen to our show and be informed that we recently had Abdullah the Butcher on. And what some great stories he's had. We've just had Hall of Famer after Hall of Famer on, and we just keep going, and it you know, it's like a lot of other things that's burned up during the coronavirus. We're bored. JBL and I was bored, and we just got online, just started telling goofy stories, and it kind of just morphed into the story with Briscoe and Bradshaw, and now 2 years later, we're still rolling.
Awesome stuff. Jerry, thank you very much for your time. Enjoy the podcast this afternoon. I know that there's an appearance out in North Tampa this weekend that you and Steve and a bunch of other old-time wrestlers are going to be at. Hopefully we can get you on again and talk about some more old-time stories.
Anytime, Randy, and please come out. It's out in Lutz, Florida at the Renaissance Hotel out off 54 out there. It's going to be fun. Steve Kern and I are going to talk about working with each other, wrestling with each other, which should be quite an experience. So I'm looking forward to it and looking forward to having this conversation with Steve and Randy. Thanks a lot, and congratulations on adding that extra hour. I know I was a part of getting that done, so thanks a lot for having me on.
I appreciate it. I know we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong for coming on, and I'm going to try to stop by and say hi on Saturday.
Oh, please do. Great talking with you. Look forward to seeing you guys.
Take care. That is the legend himself, Jerry Briscoe. Good guy. You know, we've talked a couple times on Facebook, and I'm literally driving right by. We're going to go look at the barn for the wedding this weekend. So maybe I can talk to family. Hey, sit in the car. I'm going to go run in and say hi to the guys. All right, let's go hit a quick break. Coming to you live from Tournament de Pizza. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Son.
You're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our love.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, everybody, this is Rock Newman, and when I'm in Tampa, I listen to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split and Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Carrie Turner from CBS's JAG, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
That was one of my, because you were not involved, I still would have said my, favorite remotes. It was the Florida some kind of Hall of Fame something up in Jacksonville, and she was on JAG, which I'm sure is a TV show that you've never seen. And
I saw it.
And King of Queens.
Yeah, yeah.
So the neighbor, I forget what his real name and what's his name on the show?
I don't watch it.
We couldn't. Not only would he refuse to leave, they were trying to start this show. It's on TV. He refused to leave, and so did the actor who played Arliss, which was one of my favorite shows back in the day. It was kind of like
what do you
Entourage.
Mean they refused to leave, like me, when I got fired.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I just decided not to.
Exactly.
Go.
They're like Robert Wool. Robert, we need to start. He refused to lead.
Okay.
Because we were just shooting the crap and kind of like what we're going to do in about 3 minutes. And
Do you smell that though?
What the Rock's cooking?
No, that I was a professional during that interview with Jerry. I didn't like say nothing. Well, I was going to bring out the pizza guy from the AEW and the Pizza Primo guy. You know, I could have got as cheesy as you wanted to with the wrestler scheme.
But what would that have had to do with Jerry?
Delivering an ass whoop into the ring, and maybe I could ask him to coach me. Because if he discovered Hogan, I could be a bigger star than that.
Yeah, tell Terry that.
Terry's got the leg drop. I got
the breath.
What?
You have the bad breath.
No, I got the vertical conditioning.
Terry had the leg drop. All right, so you need to be professional as we're going to have a guest in about 2 minutes.
Oh, boy.
Let me run down the second and third hour. How weird is that to say? Because typically, there is only the second hour. Coming up momentarily, the return of Jim Miller, Tim Elliott, last night's winner on The Ultimate Fighter, Roosevelt Roberts. And I told you, watch that show.
It's great.
Unbelievable. It was an 8-second knockout. And then I kind of got thrown for a loop.
The fight wasn't great.
No, the fight
show,
wasn't.
The setup.
Yeah, the fight wasn't great.
The content was great.
The fight wasn't great. And typical Conor McGregor, he didn't show. For the weigh-in, typical Conor.
Yeah, is that a big deal?
It's a huge deal.
Because your coach isn't there for the first one.
Absolutely.
And you're all newbies. Like, you're all amateur.
Well, they're all not because
they're
this season.
They're prospects. They're all prospects. They're
right.
All,
they're prospects.
They have fight experience, but there's
no,
not.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is for people that didn't watch last night, they went off on a different way this time. And a matter of fact, our guest that's coming momentarily was a coach on The Ultimate Fighter as well. This season, it's former UFC vets, and one will be on the show each and every Wednesday to give his kind of take on last night, as well as the previous night's winner. So that person has been on before. I basically confronted him and could have gotten my butt kicked.
You did.
And that's Jason Knight.
Oh, yeah.
I did confront him.
You did.
And he was very polite, respectful. And the funny part is, and I'll tell it real quickly, I'm so against athletes and anybody wearing an American flag as a cape.
Yeah.
And so he walked out. I can hear noise. I can hear a commotion. So he walked out with the flag over, and I kind of he kind of flipped it on the ground, and it kind of pissed me off. And so when I saw him at a bare knuckle fight,
yeah,
I said, you may kick my ass, but I need to confront you on something. And he goes, yeah, somebody else has been ripping me on Twitter. I go, yeah, that was me. But without further ado, are you good? Without further ado, you know, people have always asked me, like, how did you get started and where did you get started? And I'm so old, there's certain things that I don't remember.
Right.
Like, I don't remember details. But I can tell you who got me involved in mixed martial arts and who got me involved with the UFC. and he just happened to sit down next to us. He drove all the way from Orlando just to come on the show, and that's your UFC Hall of Famer, Ken Shamrock. Ken, what's up?
How you doing, my friend?
How are you?
You know, one day at a time. One day at a time.
We'll get to why you're here and all that kind of stuff. First and most importantly, how's the family? How's everybody?
Oh, man, I'm blessed. You know, great family. Kids are grown. Everybody's doing well. Got grandkids. Fact is, I got 16, actually 17. One is in the oven right now. So, yeah, just truly blessed, man.
17 grandkids.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, I came from, you know, where I grew up. I didn't have a family.
Oh, I know. I
grew up in group homes.
Right.
I'm making up for that stuff.
I don't know if I could do it, because I don't know if you're on Facebook, but I post photos of my granddaughter like 5 million a day. If I had 17 Nels, right. I wouldn't have time to breathe. Oh,
well, listen, see, that's a good thing about being a grandparent.
I know, you send them home.
Yeah, you just have fun sending them home.
Right. Well, and the beauty in mine is they live 4 doors down.
Oh, there you go.
So I walk down. She goes to daycare at 7:45. I'm knocking at the door at 7:20. I get my hug. I play with her for a minute. Yeah,
start your day.
It is definitely pretty cool. So we'll get into one of the reasons that you're here is your bare knuckle organization, putting it back together. You're scouring Florida. And we just had Jerry Briscoe on.
Oh yeah,
and we talked about, you know,
he was
a scout.
Yeah,
what are you looking for when you go out there? I mean, and when you walk into a gym and it's a 10-minute workout, what are you looking for? What do you see?
Yeah, you know, first of all, when we come here, our objective is to actually build relationships. And like I said, we're going to probably 9 different gyms. I know a lot of gyms out there now are calling us because they want us to come in, but these are things that we had put together weeks in advance before we got here. So they're all starting to hear it starting to happen, and so now we're just getting bombarded with gyms. But really, our objective is to go in to these different mixed martial arts gyms, boxing gyms, to build relationships with these coaches. But at the same time, the coaches are now, when we go to these gyms, or having some of their better guys being able to spar one another, because we are looking to fill our valor card because we are coming to Florida. We don't want to give away our dates right now, but in 2023, we're looking to have a couple events. So we have to fill that card that way.
And when Ken says he doesn't want to give away dates, he won't even tell me.
Really?
And I've known him forever.
Wow.
I know nothing.
Listen, when they say we're not going to give away dates, I even tell the people that are putting the dates together with my team, don't tell me.
That's a great strategy.
Yeah, it keeps me safe.
So you're in the gyms, they're sparring, and again, what is that one thing, like Jerry just said, when he saw Terry Bollea, he knew. Is it, do you know right away?
Yeah, you could definitely see talent. Yeah, there's like, we did one the other day at MMA Champions, and there was this one kid there.
That's Lakeland. I
don't mention names. Yes.
Yeah.
And so.
Russ Cohen.
Yes. And there was one kid there, and it was a younger kid, and he just, you've seen it. So I wanted to see him again. And so he went again with somebody a little bit better, and he got tooled. But even though he got tooled, I could still see it because he was so young. I was like, okay, there's a kid that gets a few years under his belt, gets some experience, man, and he's going to have a great career. But not only that, there was also guys that had fought and girls that had fought prior to in bare knuckle that already had experience. So we get to see a lot of that. We look at them. We got them on film. We have them fill out papers. So we know who we're going to go after to be able to fill our cards. So, but that's what it gives us. We've got, I think, 8 more gyms that we're going to. We've already done 2. So, and what we've seen so far has been pretty good. And from everything that I've understood in the fight game and being in Florida, there's some great fighters here.
Why Florida? I know you're from out west. Yeah. You know, every time I call or we touch base, you're out there out west. What, I love Florida. We live here.
Right.
Why is Florida the area?
Well, I'll tell you, when we first came here, man, it was, what, 3 years ago, we started to meet different people. We started even with some of the politicians trying to get bare knuckle legalized. I know that there was other people doing the same thing. It just seemed like this, the state of Florida, seemed a perfect spot for bare knuckle because of how lenient they are for the sanctioning of bare knuckle. Again, like I said, they seem to be more in line with how we want to build Valor, the way we want to build Valor with the no ropes, no cages. There was no pushback with that. And it was kind of funny too, because when people, even commissions in other places, and you're telling them no ropes, no cages, and which really shocked me, go like, well, how do you keep them in? And I'm just like dumbfounded as a fighter. I'm like, since when do you got to keep fighters inside? Right. When is ropes and cages kept fighters inside the fighting circle? Right. You see wrestling in high school, you see judo, all these mats where they're flat, they seem to be able to stay where they need to be, right? If they do, they put them back in the center again. It's not a big deal, right? And so it just was really kind of confusing to me when you got people that are in the fight game for so long that don't understand that this actually forces people to compete at a higher level, because there's nothing for them to back up into. There's nothing for them to bounce off of. So if that's the case, you don't move backwards because you got nothing to stop you. So as a fighter, it forces action.
So no ring, no cage, a fist fight.
No tape on the hands.
Well, what I was going to say, it's just a typical morning for you back in the day.
Yeah, I wake up. Yeah,
we call breakfast.
Yeah, right. You say before breakfast, we go out back and say, let's go.
Then go to elementary school.
Yeah, let's get the day started right.
So obviously we know Florida is a hotbed, obviously for all those reasons you said. Speaking of politicians, a great friend of mine is Mark Wayne Mullins from Oklahoma. I know historically the Lion's Den and old school, but a lot of great fighters came out of Iowa and Oklahoma and that center of the country. Is that still the case, or are there still great camps in the middle of the U.S.?
Oh, absolutely. There's since the inception of actual combat, mixed combat, it has grown. I mean, I don't think there's anywhere in the world where you don't have mixed martial art gyms. That, yeah. They've taken over the what we call the martial arts, I guess, genre, where that used to be it, like the Karate Kid and all that stuff. Well, that's been replaced. Mm-hmm. I truly believe with the mixed martial arts gyms, it's effective. You know, you have to know a lot of different styles. It's not one style that you particularly, you know, stand on, because you've got to be able to strike, kick, clinch, all that stuff on the ground. You got to be doing all kinds of different things. People say, well, it's jujitsu. No, it's not. It's actual grappling, catch wrestling, whatever you want to call it, because when you add in the punching and all the other stuff and you go to the ground, it's already eliminated. But then when you throw in leg locks, that has nothing to do with jujitsu, absolutely nothing. So it's the style of what we're seeing now is something by itself, which now they call basically mixed martial arts.
And your promotion is it all of those? Is it just boxing? Is it what is the Valor BKB Knuckle doing, or what's your style?
Yeah, it's something that I've always loved. I love boxing. I have, and it seems like boxing has just gotten soft. There's so many promotions. The best fighters don't fight each other. You got a champion here, a champion there, but they've never fought anybody. And so in my mind, I was like, man, it's sad, because I just felt like that was such a great sport. And I thought, when I take the gloves off, like, just imagine if you would just take those gloves off, how much more exciting would that be, right? And so that's what we did. Took the gloves off, took the tape off. And now what we're trying to do as this team that has been built up for Valor, we're literally trying to move into that space of boxing. Because I always felt boxing was one of the best sports in the world, just the beauty and science of it. But because of those gloves and because of what we're seeing now with mixed martial arts, it's slow. So by taking those gloves off and actually creating something different, it's become more exciting, because there's knockouts. There's only three rounds. And so the fighting happens faster. So for me, we're trying to slide into that space that's been left vacant right now, because really you think about it, who's in boxing? I mean, think about the big names there. I mean, back in the day, there was all kinds of names that people could name. Now it's Canelo. And then you got to dig deep if you're a boxing fan, right? Yeah, I mean, boxing, sure, probably knows, but most normal people don't. So we're trying to revive that.
You know, what I find funny, and it's still the case, when mixed martial arts first started, when you and I first met, the UFC, and you know, we're banging heads with boxing, and it's right. Like, no, it's safer because of the size of the glove. Now bare knuckle, and those MMA fans are saying, well, that's not safer. Wait a second. If it's safer to go from 12 ounces to 4, wouldn't going from 4 to 0 be safer?
Yeah, it's funny how – and again, I think that's logic, right? I mean, if you look at it from just a, you know, a fan of looking in, but actually having an understanding of what it is. I mean, you think about how many hands were broken in the very first – UFC where there were no gloves. I mean, almost every single person that went in to fight had a hand injury. You know, if it wasn't broke, it was bruised. You know, I even broke mine in a fight. So I think everybody in the beginning understood that, wow, this is, it's kind of hard to do a tournament because right. You can't stay healthy enough to get to the finals. So, you know, as things started to develop, you started seeing gloves put on, and I remember when they first put gloves on, I was like, all right, cool. I mean, we can actually go in and start fighting. But what really happened during that time was that it took away the purity of the sport, the God-given talent of each person. Yeah. So now what you're doing is putting a glove on it, and then when someone went for a rear naked choke, it was a 50-50 because the gloves were so big that if you tried to slide in for the choke, you'd be able to stop it. My leg locks were completely gone because the way you were hooking a heel was with your wrist. Well, that glove wrapped around the wrist, which took away that hook that you would get with the heel. So it really eliminated a lot of the submissions that you were able to do. The other thing it did was it was allowing fighters to come in with absolutely no boxing experience and be able to throw haymakers, whether they were on top of somebody or whether they were standing up in a clinch and just start throwing, and they could hit them in the back of the head, they could hit them in the forehead, and they could knock guys down, and then they wouldn't damage their hands. Sometimes they would, but most of the time they wouldn't. But if you take that glove off now, and they were throwing those same punches like they were in their earlier UFC, they broke their hand. So the long-term damage, and one thing I try to explain to people, if you take a glove off and you punch a bowling ball, right? How hard are you going to hit that? You're going to be very tender. Yeah. Put a glove on it.
Right.
Well, that's somebody hitting your head. It's the same concept.
Sure.
Now you take and I'm boxing, most champions that you talk to who have had a long career slur, they stutter. Mm-hmm. There's brain damage.
For sure.
And some people a lot worse. Muhammad Ali.
Sure.
And you see it. So it's just, you know, when, and people are trying to figure, well, it's just that, no, it is boxing. It's the repetitive head blows right. That they take in training, not necessarily the fight, but all the training that they do to get prepared for the fight. And all those times that brain is bouncing off inside of their head. When you go into a boxing match, there's hundreds of punches thrown in a match. When you go into a bare knuckle fight, there's 50 to 60 punches thrown in a fight.
Yeah.
On a head, your head, like a bowling ball, if you would. That bowling ball was empty and it was a hard shell on there. And you put an egg inside of it with water and you punch that thing a bunch of times. Sooner or later, that egg's going to break. Right?
Sir.
That's like your brain. So if I punch it 150 or 160 times and then I'm punching it 50 times, how many times does that brain bounce off inside of your head like that egg? 150 times or 50 times?
Before we go to the break, I just want to throw this out. During the break, let's put that to the test.
Yeah.
Punch Matt in the head, yeah, and let's see how many times it'll take.
I got eggs.
All right, let's go hit him. No, not the egg. We're hitting you in the head.
Oh, no, I want to hit the egg.
He didn't even catch that. All right, let's go hit a quick break. Coming to you live from Turner to Pizza. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Snapsun. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is MC Hammer, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris, putting it down.
Got bills? Looking for work? But nobody is hiring. Staff Zone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, Staff Zone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way.
How would you like to be like Jorge Masvidal, Dustin Poirier, Daniel Cormier,
Joe Rogan, me, and many, many others. You could also own an amazing painting from Ross Baines Art. Ross paints original canvas art, including custom commission work. There is nothing Ross Baines can't paint. Ross was commissioned to paint the Masvidal flying knee mural on the ATT gym wall as well. Hang a painting in your house or office of your favorite athlete, actor, pet, family, sunset, you get the idea. Check out his amazing talent on the online store at rossbainesart.bigcartel.com and join the Ross Baines Art owner family. Follow Ross today on Twitter at rossbainesart.
The Country Depot is located in the heart of downtown Brooksville at 36 North Broad Street. They have everything under the sun, from one-of-a-kind art and decor to sports memorabilia, from metal signs and handbags to men's wallets. It's worth the drive. But you can also shop online at countrydepotstore.com. You never know what you'll come across when you visit Country Depot.
Saturday, June 24th, the UFC returns to Jacksonville. The heavy-handed Josh Emmett looks to turn back undefeated phenom Ilia Topuria, plus dangerous Brazilian Amanda Ribas, takes on the future Macy Barber. Don't miss UFC Fight Night. Emmett versus Topuria, live from ViStar Veterans Memorial Arena. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Hall of Famer Deacon Jones, and we're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we're coming to you live from Tournament de Pizza. Just hanging out with the Hall of Famer.
What a guy.
You know, with Ken Shamrock.
So coming out of the break, we heard the liner said, this is Hall of Famer Deacon Jones. Like, do you introduce yourself Hall of Famer Ken Shamrock, or is it something you acknowledge, or is it something you just kind of downplay? And
see, I know you. He doesn't.
Yeah. You know, I'm past that. You know, right now I'm trying to build Valor, the business. That fight, the Ken Shamrock, that was the world's most dangerous man, the fighter. That was something that I did back then. Being inducted into the Hall of Fame is awesome and it's an honor. But man, it's time to move on and build something new. So I try, if people do that, I'm okay with it. But me personally, I don't mention it. Yeah. Don't mention it.
Talk about the book. I know they did a book about you. Yeah. I reached out because I had stories. Nobody called me.
Yeah. They're afraid of your stories.
Well, trust me, I had issues with the book too.
Oh, okay. Then I'm glad my story wasn't in.
Yeah, no, because everything was good in there. I mean, obviously I was trying to be real and I wanted to be real. But I think the problem that I had was that before the book was out, because it was COVID and all this other stuff that went on, it was almost like he pushed it out fast. He didn't allow me to proofread it, which I didn't understand that. Like, why did? And now I know why. Because okay. There was some stuff in there that should have not been in there because it wasn't true. He interviewed some of the guys that I had issues with in the gym and that I had kicked out or had left, and allowed them to put stories in there without confirming those stories. So that kind of bothered me. You know, I mean, it was one in there where said that I beat up Frank and I hurt him before the fight with Boss Rutten, but he won the fight anyways. I'm like, so you're saying that he beat Boss Rutten injured? Seriously? Come on. Like, really? Like, come on, man. I mean, like, you're basically smashing Boss Rutten in the face by saying that he
right.
Come on, man. And so it was just little things like that. The crux of the story and all the meat and stuff like that and the bad stuff, all true. I mean, I had a rough go, you know, and I did some bad things. But some of the things in there, they disrespected people, you know, like my daughters. He got their age wrong. Wow. Like, he really named one girl Sarah and the other one Rebecca. And they weren't the same girls.
Right.
It was like there was opposite of that. So little things like that, because he rushed it out,
right,
didn't allow me to proofread it.
My favorite story is the one where you beat up Randy Harris for bringing up a book that had negative, like a negative history.
Well, you know, the funny thing is I brought up the book because the story I wanted to tell, which I know you're going to remember, and this says, and I don't know if I've told you this, this says all you need to know about Ken Shamrock. So I'm doing a radio show at the Super Bowl at the players' party, and we get done. Ken is there with his wife, ex-wife. And we start to leave. And a security guard comes over and goes, oh, my God, it's Ken Shamrock. It's Ken Shamrock. The players would love for you to come into the lounge. There was a closed off. You know, we've been to the Radio Row stuff. So Ken and says, yeah, sure, it'd be great. And then we start to walk. And the security guy goes, oh, no, not you. Talking about me, which I'm fine with.
Right.
And Ken's like, you know what? I got other things to do. And didn't go. And that's the relationship. And that's Ken Shamrock.
Well, to me, it was like, you know, you were the one responsible for bringing me in there to meet these players. And then you got a guy there saying that, oh, wait, you can't go in there. It's like, okay, well, then I'm not going. Because to me, that it's just, what in the hell does it matter if one guy comes in? Like, right? Really?
Well, it's just common sense. And I know I've told this story. We were doing an event with the Marty Lyons Foundation. We flew down with Mark Carrier and his wife. And I remember it vividly. We were sitting at like a long bench table. I was on the end. Mark Carrier's wife was on the other end. Mark was next to his wife. And somebody comes over, I won't say who, but leans through the wife and me and says, Mark, can I get you something to drink? I don't care that you didn't offer to me, but you didn't even offer the wife.
Right.
I'm like, it's like, I would have asked the wife first. That's just me. And it's just common sense, but it just goes to show that the country and the world we live in today that has no common sense didn't have it back then either.
No, well, that now, but now it's okay it's not to have it, right? Now they're actually promoting people to not have it.
Yeah.
Well, but that shows that things have changed, right? And so going back to even last night, the Ultimate Fighter season 31. 31 is these upon us.
What season was yours?
Number three. So, you know, we had a coach not show up for the first weigh-in. I mean, is that just a sign of the times? Like, hey, it's okay. Or you know, old school, you should have been there. You're the coach of the team. You should have been there for the first weigh-in to the last weigh-in.
Yeah, it really, I think it just goes with the way things are kind of moving in the country. Like I'm sure we've all kind of witnessed in the last, you know, four years or so, 3 years. So it's just crazy, you know, that there isn't any backbone as far as people standing up and saying no more. Like, this isn't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's crazy, man. At times, I'm ashamed at how the United States has responded to these things.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to just jump in. Yeah. I'm not at times. I'm all the time.
Yeah, right, and he's a veteran.
It kills me, you know, and I've said, and I've had friends, and once you know about this stuff, you'll be one of those guys texting me, Randy, stop. If somebody came to me today and said, we need you in the I wouldn't go. I wouldn't defend this country.
How do you do it when they've got their, for their people that are representing the Navy or some of the other ones as cross-dressers? I don't understand that. I mean, I don't. I'm okay with whatever people want to do. I have no problem with it.
Yeah.
But since when do we all have to recognize things that we don't believe in?
Yeah.
Like, they don't believe in what we believe in. We don't believe in what they believe in. But we can all get along.
Yeah,
we can all work together. But it's like now the opposite of that. If you don't, then they're going to try to squash you, right? Because you can't believe what you want to believe.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I've had people, and we've talked about this on the show, some I thought were friends. You know, they're like, unfriend me. I'm like, no. You unfriend me. I don't have a problem. I don't care. You can believe and do whatever you want. I don't care. Just don't get on me because of my beliefs.
Yeah. It's a funny world we're living in right now.
So,
and you can't, like I said, it's sad, but it is where we're at.
Yep. So going back to this new Ken Shamrock, this improved Ken Shamrock, your role in the Valor BK. Are you just scouting? Are you coaching? Are you mentoring? Are you really taking your body of work and your experience and pouring into this next generation?
Well, we have to stay out of the coaching part of it because all we're trying to do is find talent.
Okay.
So when we go in there, we basically tell these guys what our rule sets are. We want to see them go in there and spar for 2 minutes.
Sure.
Because we're putting all of this on tape and we're going to go through these after we're done. We're going to go through these tapes and we're going to fill our card with the guys that we think have the best skill sets for Valor.
And since I have knuckles, would I qualify?
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, but here,
finally.
All right, but as somebody that we have known each other a long time, I would like to throw my 2 cents in. I just would like to him to be the punching dummy. So he has bare knuckles, but I want him tied behind his back, and then we want to see what the opponent can do to that coconut.
We'll actually test whether or not they can hit the target.
Exactly. I think that'd be all right. Are you up for that?
I'd love to take a punch from Ken Shamrock.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah. Well, I would love to. Yeah, in theory, I would love to have a punch.
In theory, right. Yeah, let's not go there.
Right. You know, back in the day, I used to have a co-host who, and I know we're going to run out of time, so I'll just throw the, no, I'll tell the story when we come back.
Okay.
About a co-host that wanted to do. We'll talk about it when we return. It's the top of the hour. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.